Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, Mark Levin just unloaded on pretend MAGA, pretend America First crowd that is trying to undermine President Donald J. Trump right now. Yesterday, I said for 10 years, Donald J. Trump has been clear. The terrorists in Tehran should never get their hands on a nuclear weapon. And now, like, all these people who claim to be, you know, the Make America Great Again crowd are pretending like Donald Trump never said any of that for 10 years. It's actually 14 years. I think the DailyWire.com, I saw a report earlier this morning, they actually went back even further. For 14 years, Donald J. Trump, at rally after rally, has consistently been talking about the existential threat of Iran getting their hands, the terrorists in Tehran, getting their hands on a nuclear weapon. And now all these people who claim to be, you know, part of Team MAGA, Make America Great Again, are pretending like they're the ones who led that movement. It's pretty interesting. But Mark Levin just absolutely unloaded last night here. Let's just start with that. Let's start with that. Since we're just getting up and rolling, I just got the audio clips pulled up. Here we go.
We have fought these bastards for 47 years, half a century. They go on with their bumper stickers, forever wars, forever wars. Well, guess what? The Israelis are going to put an end to this forever war, and so will Donald Trump. Then I hear the questions, well, how much does the United States want to get involved? Well, I don't know. They want to have intercontinental ballistic missiles to hit the United States with nuclear warheads. How do we know? They've said so. Death to America. And they said that's not a slogan. That's reality. Really? You know, in World War II, a lot of the countries didn't even have advance notice. We have advance notice. They want intercontinental ballistic missiles. Think plain English. Plain English. They want nuclear warheads, and they're going to hit us with them. Okay. I'm a warmonger because I think that these 7th century primitive barbarians with 21st century technology should be removed so that we can protect our country, our families, our children. If this is not a reason to defend ourselves, then give me one. An Islamo-Nazi regime with a nuclear warhead, intercontinental missiles that have threatened to assassinate the President of the United States. Gee! And we have morons, fools, running around the country. This isn't MAGA. This isn't MAGA. This isn't what I voted for. Donald Trump is a forever war president. How so? He's going to do what every president before him since Carter didn't have the guts to do. He's going to put an end to this damn thing.
All right, there you go. Yeah, he's going to end the forever war. Mark Levin there. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you didn't have your first cup of coffee yet this morning, now you've got your jolt right there. Thanks to the great one, Mark Levin. Tim and Savage sent me this hilarious video yesterday. You guys remember this California senator? You guys even remember his name? Remember the guy who tried to bum rush the Secretary of Homeland Security? The guy was practically crying on the floor of the U.S. Senate yesterday. Tim and Savage sent the video. Maybe we'll start there next.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, highs range from about 83 in Bozeman to the upper 80s in the Billings area. Clear and quiet for tonight, as temperatures will drop back off to about 52 in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. And then on Thursday, with some sunshine, highs will range from the mid-80s to around 90 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
A Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearing Tuesday examined the issue of military installations as the fiscal year 2026 budget process continues. Georgia Democratic Senator John Ossoff on why this is an important national security issue.
If service members can't live, eat, train, and work in safe, healthy, world-class facilities, our readiness is undermined, and so is morale.
The Assistant Deputy Chief of Space Operations for the Space Force General Zachary Warakomsky said facility importance cannot be understated.
It is foundational to the launch and operational missions we conduct across the entire spectrum of conflict.
Assistant Secretary of Defense Dale Marks added,
we want to ensure warfighters are able to deliver 100% of their effort to their missions without having to worry about issues with their housing or the health and safety of their family members back home.
The condition of military housing has been hotly criticized in recent years. Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, this was hilarious. Tim and Savage yesterday sent this message. Now I got to go back in. So apparently this video was posted by The Nun Report. And did you guys see this interview? So Donald Trump, who did he do? He was doing an interview with somebody, and the lady says, well, what's something about you that nobody really knows? And he says, I was almost a flutist. He said he almost played the flute back in the day. So this video, it shows this Democrat Senator Padilla from California. You know, the guy who's working on winning an Academy Award. He's working to get his next Oscar following his performance last week. He's the guy who tried to bum rush the Secretary of Homeland Security in the middle of a press conference. Nobody knew who he was. So security basically like stops him and then starts pushing him back. He starts fighting with likely a Secret Service detail. And shouting, and so he ends up eventually, you know, basically being cuffed. He was never arrested or charged, although he should have been. But anyway, now he's pretending to be this big old victim, just practically in, you know, crocodile tears on the floor of the United States Senate. So when you hear this video, you'll hear him almost crying on the floor of the United States Senate. But the video in the background is President Trump playing the flute. And then there's a cat with eyeglasses on playing the flute in the background, too. I think the song is My Heart Will Go On. But, yeah, the Nun Report shared this video on Facebook yesterday. I just shared it at facebook.com/Flint Report right now if you want to find it as well.
I was forced to the ground. First on my knees, and then flat on my chest. And as I was handcuffed and marched down a hallway, repeatedly asking, why am I being detained?
Oh, man, just hysterical. You got to go watch the video. I still keep busting up laughing every time I sent it. So thanks to our Mondakistan bureau chief out there on the Montana-North Dakota border for sharing that one with us. The video is titled Poor Alex Padilla. And Tim says, audio for the show tomorrow? Oh, yeah. And then Tim says this, unknown senator shoots to stardom via stupid stunt. Now, you would think that Alex Padilla is the Democrat senator with brain damage, with recovering from a traumatic brain, issue, right? No. It's not him. It's not the guy in tears after his fake phony stunt that he pulled last week. No, it's he's not the one. The guy that actually had the brain damage and is recovering from a brain injury, John Fetterman, the Democrat out of Pennsylvania, he's like the only one on the Democrat side of the aisle that's actually making sense these days. I don't know if you guys saw it. I mentioned his tweet over the weekend talking about that beautiful 250th birthday U.S. Army parade, the military parade that took place in Washington, D.C. on Saturday. And Fetterman's just scratching his head. What is with these Democrats? Why are you complaining about this? This should be a moment of national unity. Well, he was on with Bill Hemmer yesterday talking a little bit more at length about that. But before we get to that, let's go to, again, another Democrat who you would assume is recovering from a brain injury. But no, she's just filled with hatred for the United States of America and the very troops who helped her people back in Somalia. Maybe she needs to go back to Somalia. Here's what Ilhan Omar had to say here about that U.S. military parade celebrating 250 years of the U.S. Army. Grabian Media snagged this soundbite, and the Daily Wire has a report.
To have a democracy, a beacon of hope for the world to now be turned into one of the worst countries where the military are in our streets without any regard for people's constitutional rights, while our president spending millions of dollars propping himself up like a failed dictator with a military parade.
Yeah, 250th birthday of the United States Army, many of whom were in Somalia helping her fellow Somalis. And that's what she has to say. Here's Fetterman with Bill Hemmer. First, Bill Hemmer.
You sent this out on X. You said the parade is comprised, the U.S. Army parade in Washington. It's comprised of our sons, daughters, mothers, and fathers, the very best of us, regardless of your politics. It's appropriate to celebrate the 250 years of sacrifice, dedication, and service. What did you think of the boos in Philadelphia?
Well, I think two things can be true. I think absolutely my unapologetically supportive of Israel and a secure border and refuse to vote to shut the government down. I have absolutely I've taken a hit with from the base. I'm not sure why Democrats would boo a fellow Democrat, but that's their prerogative now. And now with that military parade. Again, you know, there was no goose stepping. Now, like, first of all, let's say stop ever comparing anyone, anything to the Nazis and those kinds of things. That's crazy. And now remember, that's our soldiers. That's, you know, this is not an occupying force. You know, this is a 250, you know, anniversary for the Army. Why? I'm not sure why it's outrageous to have a parade to celebrate the Army. Now, look at that video that's on the screen now. That's not, you know, like some kind of like, you know, anything extreme. It's celebrating, you know, a quarter of a millennia about the American Army. I don't understand why that's controversial.
Yeah, I understand. They've been trashing the military and trying to cut the military since I was a kid in the Reagan 80s, so no surprise now.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You might as well stick a fork in the old Republican economic growth strategy because it's done. The machinations of the tax and spending bill making its way through Congress are the end of the road for an idea that defined the party since the days of Reagan. The idea was simple, even if it has been a political failure. Cut tax rates and broaden the base. Eating your vegetables to have your dessert, you might say, and or at least rein in the urge to reward and punish behavior in the tax code through the use of endless deductions and credits. And in doing so, we can lower the tax rates to reduce the load that taxes place on economic activity, spurring higher growth. The current version of this old mantra has two doses of dessert, lower rates and a narrower base. Tips, interest on car loans, overtime, together with a continuation of the lower rates due to expire in the old Trump tax cuts in the first term, it's a double whammy to tax revenues that bond markets have noticed. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Should members of the House and Senate have to face random screening for drugs? They will if GOP Louisiana Representative Clay Higgins has his way. Higgins says, quote, elected officials in Washington, D.C. should be subject to the same kind of random drug screenings that every blue-collar working-class American endures. We must live by the same rules. The legislation would make lawmakers go through a random drug test once per term. If a member tests positive for an illegal substance, they would be reported to the Ethics Committee. The Ethics Committee would then recommend punishment punishment by the full House or Senate. Higgins says screening will cost the American taxpayers nothing. He would require members of Congress to reimburse all costs of the program. However, there's a question about the constitutionality of this plan. The House might need to approve this as part of its formal rules package. And there's a question about whether drug screening interferes with the Constitution's speech or debate clause. That clause generally shields lawmakers from special requirements or arrest as they carry out their congressional duties. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblond. Well, the summer run is officially underway for the video sale season. Ranchers are keeping an eye on the Corn Belt Classic hosted by Speer Livestock Auction, underway in Sioux City, Nebraska this week. They're offering over 104,000 head of cattle on the video market. After selling cattle and stepping off the block yesterday, I was able to catch up with former world champion livestock auctioneer Kyle Schaub, who said the yearly market yesterday was very impressive, despite the cattle futures closing in the red.
It's always interesting to me when we get to this first big week in June. It always seems like early in the week, the board wants to back up. It's just a little bit of an head scratch, but I'll say this, today it did not seem to affect the cash trade one iota.
Again, mainly yearling selling on the Corn Belt Classic yesterday. 9 to 9.5 weight yearlings from this region, bringing $3.06 to $3.11. 9.5 to 1,000 weights, $2.83 all the way up to $3.06. And Schaub stressed that despite these higher prices, quality cattle with good genetics still continue to pay off.
There is disparity in this market. Sometimes it's really hard to explain as a marketer why one set of 6 weight calves or 800 or 900 pound yearlings bring one price and the next set behind them brings 10, 12, 15 cents back. There may not be a whole lot of explanation, but as you look through a video sale catalog, it doesn't matter which video company we're talking about, you start looking at the rep, you look at the terms, the delivery date, and the way of all these things factor into how appealing those cattle, how digested they are, so to speak, to the buyer base. So there's a lot more to the story than just the pounds and the price on a sale report at the end of the day. And I think that could go for cattle through a video auction or cattle through a sale rate.
And day two of the Corn Belt Classic gets underway here this morning in Sioux City, Nebraska, with calves starting to sell here soon. And of course, coming up Thursday and Friday, the Northern Livestock Video Auction will get underway with over 64,000 head of cattle on the offering.
At AgWest, we know ag financing like you know that the office with the best view isn't a traditional office at all. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. Give us a call from your office, wherever that may be. We'd love to chat. Find us at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Montana Farmers Union's commitment to education, FFA, and 4-H means that young producers have an advocate in their corner from the beginning. Montana youth are able to take advantage of member-driven educational programming, such as Future Ranchers Cow Camp and Ag-focused day camps that offer hands-on learning experiences, as well as peer-to-peer and expert mentoring.
Learn more today by visiting MontanaFarmersUnion.com.
China has approved 106 U.S. meat processing plants to export eligible pork and poultry products produced on or after June 12th, according to notices from Chinese Customs. The list includes 23 pork facilities and 83 poultry plants. The move follows renewed trade discussions between the U.S. and China in Geneva last month, aimed at reviving a stalled trade truce. In March, China imposed tariffs of up to 15% on $21 billion worth of American ag and food products in response to U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods. While many pork and poultry facilities have now regained access to China, initially granted under the 2020 Phase 1 trade deal, U.S. beef plant registrations remain listed as expired at this time. I'm Lee Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to go back to this Padilla stunt. There's a great article at thefederalist.com that just got posted yesterday by M.D. Kittle. Democrats make political stunt Padilla a martyr while ignoring victims' pain. So, yeah, last week, I don't know if you guys saw this, but several Democrat governors were testifying on Capitol Hill. And, man, they just got raked over the coals. Tampon Tim Walz was there. Governor Kathy Hochul, she's New York, right? Yeah, Kathy Hochul was there. She got all offended because some of the members of Congress didn't know how to pronounce her name. She got all offended because, you know, she gets to live like a king back in New York while her people suffer. But Kathy Hochul was asked about a horrific murder that occurred in her own town, not just in her own state. New York's a big state. It occurred in her own town. And she couldn't even recall the news story that happened in the very town that she actually lives in. And that's just the thing. Like, the Democrats are so in bed with the criminal illegal aliens right now that they are, you know, they are plugging their ears. They are shutting their eyes. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to see it. Or even if they see it, they will pretend that they don't know what you're talking about. And when I saw this stunt that, well, actually, before I get to that point, we just had the Farm and Ranch report. We just had the Farm and Ranch report here. I want to talk more about this Padilla stunt in just a second. Let me bookmark that one for just a second here. Since we just had the Farm and Ranch report here, do you guys remember Jim Acosta? Is he still on CNN? Did he get fired from CNN? I can't remember. I'm literally asking you guys. So Jim Acosta, the DailyCaller.com has a report here. He was talking about farmers and ranchers, you know, since we just had the Western Ag Network report there. And he was basically saying that you guys are too stupid to think for yourselves. You are incapable of thinking for yourself when voting. Here you go. Here's the audio.
The far right in this country has kind of figured out a way to infiltrate, you know, the heartland and to, you know, basically pull, you know, mom and pop from the farm to their point of view. And as it turns out, a lot of those folks vote in these elections and a lot of those folks have been completely led astray. I hate to say it, but they've just been completely led astray. And we've all just let this happen on our watch. With essentially a business model for delivering the news in this country that just does not work anymore.
Okay, I mean, there's a lot of different things we could talk about on that one. Maybe we'll bring that topic up a little bit later. But he basically, Jim Acosta from CNN is basically saying that you farmers and ranchers and just people in rural America in general are too stupid, are too incapable of thinking for yourselves. So forget the fact that the Democrats have been targeting agriculture with their climate agenda. Forget the fact that Barack Obama talked about you clinging to your Bibles and your guns. I mean, give me a break. The marker, the Democrats continue their trans insanity. Hey, by the way, you just heard a brief update on the Israel-Iran situation there from Jonathan Savage with Fox News Radio. He's actually going to be joining us live here in just a few minutes from London to give us the latest news. So that'll be happening here in just a quick few minutes. So, yeah, that's why we'll come back to some of these other news stories. The Jim Acosta soundbite about rural America. They're always talking down to rural America and then simultaneously wondering why they lost rural America. And most of America when you look at the map. But I want to go back to this Padilla stunt. So this United States senator, nobody knew who he was. He bum rushes the Secretary of Homeland Security and then gets stopped by Secret Service. Nobody knows who he is. They push him back. They block him from, you know, interrupting this press conference in the middle of it, potential security threat. And then he starts fighting with the security detail. And then here he is on the floor of the United States Senate yesterday, crying practically to further, you know, make a bigger stunt out of this whole thing. And, of course, the Democrats and the liberal media is just running with it, pretending to make this guy look like a victim. But it got me thinking, you know, this story from The Federalist where the Democrats are making Padilla a martyr while ignoring the actual victims of these illegal alien crimes. I mean, speaking of Los Angeles, California, where Padilla's stunt took place, I mean, you've had family members whose kids have been murdered by gangbangers in L.A. You've had people who've been murdered by, illegal aliens. And then those criminals get put right back out onto the streets. Could you imagine if one of those family members, if the mother of a kid who was killed by a criminal illegal alien or killed by a gangbanger, and then just to see her kid's murderer back out on the streets, could you imagine if she tried to bum rush a Secretary of Homeland Security during the Biden years? And could you imagine if she tried to interrupt a press conference? And could you imagine if she then, when stopped by Secret Service, then started fighting with Secret Service and wrestling with Secret Service to still try to bum rush the secretary? Now, that woman, you could actually feel for that woman, because she doesn't have the ability to haul the secretary before a committee. She doesn't have the ability to pick up the phone and talk to the secretary practically anytime she wants to. Padilla does. Padilla did. And yet, look at the way they try to make him look like a victim. They try to make him look like a martyr, while they ignore these moms who lost sons and daughters that were murdered, raped, or et cetera, by criminal illegal aliens or gangbanger thugs in their communities, that then these Soros-style prosecutors in places like California would just dump right back out on the streets. They would have no sympathy for that mom. They would have no sympathy for the everyday American citizen, but then they try to turn this guy into a martyr.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we should have Jonathan Savage with Fox News Radio joining us here any second, any minute, I'd imagine. He's probably in high demand here this morning, as he's, we are, of course, your Fox News Radio affiliate here, 970 KBUL Billings, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, 1340 KPRK Livingston, and 1370 KXTL Butte. Of course, FM signals on almost all the above there as well. And we got folks listening all across the state on the Montana Talks app right now as well. But yeah, but thanks to the fact that we're a Fox News Radio affiliate, we're able to catch up with their correspondents and some other special guests from time to time. But I'll bet he is in high demand this morning here, because he is providing the updates, kind of the latest on what's going on between Israel and the terrorists in Tehran. Ted Cruz, let's get to this one here before we get that phone call from Jonathan Savage. Texas Senator Ted Cruz was on with Sean Hannity last night, and Hannity made a great point. He was pointing out how the people of Iran are listening to President Donald J. Trump. They are taking their guidance from President Trump, not from the Ayatollah, not from these other, terrorist dictators. They are listening to President Donald Trump. When President Trump said to get out of the city, for the women and the children, et cetera, to get out of Tehran, they exited the city. But here's what else is interesting. And Mark Levin, we opened up the show with Mark Levin just unloading on this whole situation in Iran. Mark Levin had Mark Levin made a great point that it was like, wow, when in world history did we go through such pain to warn people, to warn an enemy country that a bomb was about to hit a certain area? I mean, yesterday when John Jackson, the Joker from X, was in the house here, sorry, I'm getting messages here, so I'm losing my train of thought. Hey, Kate, don't worry about it. If Savage calls in, great. If he doesn't call in, no problem. Yeah, we'll see him on the phone lines if he calls in. All right, let me get back to what my train of thought was here for a second. So, all right, I lost it. Let's get to Ted Cruz here. That's why I try to. I know some folks will send me text messages on my phone, and I'm trying to not look down at my phone so much, because you guys know me. I get way too easily distracted as it is here. But yeah, we're taking these great pains. So yesterday we were talking about how Iranian state TV, here they are in the middle of their broadcast, and then all of a sudden, the bomb struck Iranian state TV. Well, they had, Israel had warned that they were going to hit that area before they struck Iranian state TV. So most of the other people, anyway, that's the point that Hannity and Ted Cruz were making here, is that they're taking great pains to prevent civilian casualties. Anyway, we'll get to the Ted Cruz clip here in just a second. But first, we've got Jonathan Savage with Fox News Radio joining us now from London with the latest. Jonathan, great to have you back on the show. What can you tell us here this morning?
Hello, good morning. So the very latest coming out of Iran is that the Israeli military strikes are continuing. More than 50 fighter jets conducted operations last night, attacking an Iranian centrifuge facility. That's an important part of its nuclear program, a missile production facility, and even a university connected to Iran's powerful Revolutionary Guard. On the other hand, of course, Iran has been counterattacking Israel. More drones and missiles fired towards Israel. There were sirens waking people up several times during the night last night. Although there was some damage, we're told no one was killed or injured from that latest overnight volley.
I think I heard, I don't know if it was Mike Tobin or another, Lucas Tomlinson, one of the other Fox correspondents on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, and they were saying how, from Israel, how, yeah, Iran was firing all of these missiles, but the rate at which how many missiles Iran is firing into Israel is starting to slow down, which suggests that maybe they're starting to lose lose a bit of their ammunition potentially, and then now this news that Israel struck their facility there. That was one of the interesting things that stood out to me. And then also, it seems like one of the big questions is, as Israel has been targeting their nuclear infrastructure, one big one remains, and they're hoping to potentially get a bunker buster to go in and knock that one out.
Yeah, that is the most likely potential involvement of the United States in this conflict at this point. The United States have the 30,000-pound bomb that is capable of destroying the uranium enrichment site at Fordo. It's underneath a mountain, which is why you need this very specific bomb to destroy it. And you also need the American B-2 bomber to deliver it. So President Trump is reportedly considering joining Israel's strikes against Iran, and that could be the means by which the U.S. gets involved.
I did see, I think Jesse Waters last night reported that there are reports suggesting that a bomber may be in the Mediterranean or in the Middle Eastern region ready if called upon. President Trump already kind of issued a warning to the Ayatollah saying, hey, we know where you are, and the only reason you're alive basically is because of me.
Yes, and very interesting comments from President Trump, who a few days ago was making clear that the United States was not involved. He knew in advance about the attacks, but he was not involved in them. This was not a U.S. situation. But then on social media, on Truth Social, President Trump saying, we know where the Supreme Leader is hiding. We are not going to take him out, at least not for now, then adding, our patience is wearing thin. A real sign of a mindset change within the White House.
It's also interesting. I know Iran is now trying to lash out with warnings to the United States, et cetera. But it does seem like what's your assessment of where they are right now? It certainly seems like the terrorist regime in Tehran is running out of steam, and they seem to be boxed in and surrounded.
In terms of their military capabilities, they appear to be losing steam. They're certainly, as you were saying, firing fewer drones and missiles at Israel than they have been. They may be rationing and limiting their use, partly because of the effectiveness of the Iron Dome air defense system that Israel has. However, I think most of the world thinks that Iran has enough missiles in order to continue to cause problems, whether it's towards Israel or towards other countries in the region, and certainly to U.S. military bases in the region if they do feel the need to attack the United States' own interests. Politically, the Iranian regime has been hollowed out. Most of the Ayatollahs, senior military advisors and commanders have been killed by Israel in the last week. Even sometimes the people who replaced those who were killed were themselves killed. So you would imagine there's probably some panicked or uncertain decision-making going on in Tehran at the moment.
Yeah, what's the reaction in Europe looking like right now? Because obviously it's European commercial traffic that's really been hit by these Iranian proxies in the Middle East in particular. And so it's not just October 7th. It's really, as Mark Levin pointed out, this is 45 years of the terrorists in Tehran waging war on the West.
Yeah, I'll give you one example. Germany, the leader there, the Chancellor, Friedrich Merz, has said this is the dirty work that Israel is doing for all of us, saying we are also victims of the Mullah regime, which has brought death and destruction to the world. And Chancellor Merz saying that he has the greatest respect for the Israeli army and the Israeli leadership having the courage to do this. Over the weekend of the G7 summit in Canada, there was talk of de-escalation. Those voices have gone a little bit quiet recently. I think the Western NATO members and G7 members are just letting this play out for now.
Very interesting. Jonathan Savage, appreciate your reporting as always. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. And then here we go. This was Ted Cruz, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, on with Sean Hannity last night.
Well, listen, President Trump throughout this conflict has been fantastic. I spoke to the president on Sunday and just told him, I said, your leadership has been so critical on this. And he made clear Iran is not getting a nuclear weapon, and he is standing with Israel. I believe our position should be we stand unequivocally with the state of Israel. And I'll make a point. Israel is doing an enormous favor to the United States right now. I believe the most acute near-term security threat facing America is the threat of a nuclear Iran, because the Ayatollah is a religious nutcase. He is a theocratic mass murderer. And when he chants death to America and death to Israel, he does so in front of mobs of people. He also refers to Israel as the little Satan, and America is the great Satan. There is a reason the Ayatollah is developing ICBMs. ICBMs are intercontinental ballistic missiles. You don't need an ICBM to bomb Israel. They're bombing Israel with ballistic missiles. You need an ICBM to get to America. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, I think the odds are unacceptably high that we would find out with a mushroom cloud over New York City or Los Angeles or Tel Aviv in Israel. And what Israel has said is we are going to act. Israel's a tiny country. It's the size of the state of New Jersey, and they are taking out Iran's military with surgical precision. They're taking out virtually all of the senior leaders of the military. They're taking out their new...
All right, we got to hold it right there. A little bit more from Ted Cruz right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
There are really three ways to take out that site. The first two options are not good options. One, the Israelis can go it alone with a tactical nuke. Nobody wants that option. Option two, they can send in commandos. That would be a great risk and harm potentially to Israeli fighters. Not the best option. But controlling the skies, the best option would be bunker buster bombs. But Israel, according to reports, they don't have bunker busters. That would take the U.S. not only to provide it, but probably to complete the mission, because they don't have the B-52 that would be necessary to deliver that bomb.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, did you hear that Florida just legalized gold and silver? Yep, my new home state, the free state of Florida, has made it legal to use gold and silver as money. Now, Governor DeSantis explained it all by saying, this is our ability to give you the financial freedom to be able to protect yourself against the declining value of the dollar. This is exactly why I partnered with a top precious metals company myself. If you want to learn more about how gold and silver can help protect your money, if you want to inform yourself, do your due diligence, reach out to my partners at GoldCo. They're a great company. I'm a customer. They've helped me out tremendously. Check them out on the web, HannityGold.com, or call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD. Get their free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. That's 855-815-GOLD or HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, highs range from about 83 in Bozeman to the upper 80s in the Billings area. Clear and quiet for tonight, as temperatures will drop back off to about 52 in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. And then on Thursday with some sunshine, highs will range from the mid-80s to around 90 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, we got this great guy who's called into the show, Kevin Williams in Billings. He's called in from time to time, always has something good to say, but he's got his own podcast, and he's blind. And I love it. His tagline is, "Even a blind man can see what's going on." Hey, you got to go to MontanaTalks.com. In his latest episode, this Billings-based podcaster, Kevin Williams, on the Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone, just interviewed Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. Check it out. Full story, MontanaTalks.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I almost forgot about this one. I didn't go in and print up my screenshots of some of the things I've been sharing on X over the past 24 hours. Look out, Shoto, Montana. Look out, Shoto, Montana. You guys know David Letterman, right? David Letterman used to have one of the late night shows. He's no Johnny Carson. I know. I can hear you already, Greg and Billings. Adam Carolla, the comedian and actor, Adam Carolla. We were talking about how the Ayatollah back in Iran, how, you know, Donald Trump, he said, this is what President Trump said on Truth Social. He says, we know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding. He is an easy target, but is safe there. We are not going to take him out, kill him, at least not for now. But we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. Thank you for your attention to this matter. That's what President Trump shared about 20 hours ago on X and on Truth Social. But anyway, the fact that President Trump says, yeah, Ayatollah, we know exactly where you are, and we're not going to take you out, at least for now. Adam Carolla said this, David Letterman should probably lay low for the next few weeks just to be safe. You know, David Letterman, I think does he still have a ranch in Shoto? He bought a big ranch in Shoto, I know, a long time ago. I'm assuming he still has it. But anyway, Adam Carolla shared this photo of the Ayatollah Khomeini and David Letterman with his big gray beard. And they look almost exactly alike, the Ayatollah and the radical leftist, David Letterman. So Adam Carolla said Letterman should probably lay low for the next few weeks just to be safe. Just to be safe. So look out, Shoto, Montana. Here's more of what Ted Cruz had to say about the specific targeting that's going on by the Israeli military and Israeli intelligence in Tehran to take out their leadership, to take out their nuclear capabilities, but also to protect the populace at large.
And they are taking out Iran's military with surgical precision. They're taking out virtually all of the senior leaders of the military. They're taking out their nuclear scientists. They are leveling nuclear facilities on the ground. And I think President Trump is exactly right to say we stand with Israel. And I'm with the 75% of Americans that agree with the president's strong stance to keep America safe. That's the commander-in-chief's number one job, to protect American lives and keep America safe. That's what Donald Trump is doing today.
All right, there we go. That was Ted Cruz with Hannity last night. We got a lot more to talk about. A relatively busy 7 o'clock hour coming up, and then the 8 o'clock hour. We should have open phones for the full 8 o'clock hour, so a chance to cover a whole host of topics. You know, earlier I played that Jim Acosta soundbite where he was basically saying that, oh, you farmers and ranchers are incapable of thinking for yourselves, and that's why you vote for the Republicans. And he was talking about how the Democrats have lost rural America. And I made the point, it has nothing to do with the fact that the Democrats and their climate alarmist agenda have been a direct attack on American agriculture and American energy production. Yeah, I mean, we love our beef. We love our Montana beef in particular. By the way, if you love Montana beef, you've got to try out Reminisce Angus Ranch Beef. I've had their premium steaks. I've had their beef bacon. I've had their beef jerky. In fact, you can find Reminisce Angus Jerky at several town pump locations between Billings and Bozeman and Butte, et cetera. But also, you can get their Reminis Angus beef delivered right to your house. I think they're at some of the Town and Country stores as well. And so, yeah, great opportunity to get some Montana beef delivered right to your doorstep. Here's the cool thing, too. You know, we've had Brian Massard from Reminis Angus Ranch join us on the show. He's partnering now with N-Soil Algae, and they're using algae to actually boost the soil, to help the soil. So they got better soil, which leads to better feed, better beef, you name it. So anyway, check out the Reminis Angus Ranch website if you want to find out how to get their products delivered to your doorstep and much more. And, yeah, of course, Brian Massard, he's been, you know, front and center talking about this Make America Healthy Again, the MAHA agenda for, you know, over 2 years now.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You might as well stick a fork in the old Republican economic growth strategy because it's done. The machinations of the tax and spending bill making its way through Congress are the end of the road for an idea that defined the party since the days of Reagan. The idea was simple, even if it has been a political failure. Cut tax rates and broaden the base. Eating your vegetables to have your dessert, you might say, and or at least rein in the urge to reward and punish behavior in the tax code through the use of endless deductions and credits. And in doing so, we can lower the tax rates to reduce the load that taxes place on economic activity, spurring higher growth. The current version of this old mantra has two doses of dessert, lower rates and a narrower base. Tips, interest on car loans, overtime, together with a continuation of the lower rates due to expire in the old Trump tax cuts in the first term, it's a double whammy to tax revenues that bond markets have noticed. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.